This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Today, I'm speaking to three ladies. Tessie Lim from the World Center of Personal Excellence, Dato' Ruby Kong from Magic, and Nadira Yusuf from Nadi IU Technologies and Girls in Tech. I like to call them Tessie and Gang.
All right. Hi, Frida.
And today's topic is about rules of engagement. And I think this is something that has come out in the media, something that's affected all women. We've had the hashtag with Me Too. Mm-hmm. Just think about Harvey Weinstein. Just think about even President Trump, you know, and all these stories about what are the rules of engagement when dealing with women. And it's really apt that we've got these three ladies here to talk about this. Now, I just want to know, with this backdrop in mind as well, right, that everyone has had a differing level of comfort when it comes to setting boundaries, be they physical, emotional. Is it possible to create a regulated, standardized set of ground rules? And maybe you all can start off with your experiences, right? I mean, having been in the working world, having been in this experience, having gone through all this, right? Why is it only now that we're starting to talk about these things? Maybe we'll start with you, Tessie.
Why now? Because in the past, I feel it was much more under wraps. People were more conservative in their views. We didn't quite know who to go to speak about our issues. Mm-hmm. I know I couldn't go to speak to my parents. They would have looked at me and judged me.
And said, did you instigate this?
Yeah. What did I do to make this happen? I would have felt small. I would have felt like I was putting myself out there to be criticized and judged and labeled. Mm. So it would be easier for a woman to just stuff it, keep quiet. Mm. Who would we go to feel safe? Mm. That's what we want to do. Would we go to the police? Would we go to our headmaster? Would we go to our parents? It's not an easy question to answer. Mm. A group of friends, but what could they do?
Yeah. And when we think about it, right, it had to take Hollywood to start this whole thing called hashtag Me Too, and then you realize that it affects women in all industries that we've been affected in some way. You know, Dato, what are your views on this?
This issue has always been there. Mm. But as the community becomes more progressive, I think people becomes more literate and, you know, you become more brave and you know that, oh, okay, you know, it is it's perfectly okay to talk about this and bring this issue up. I mean, if you talk about, let's say, 50 years ago,
yeah,
I'm sure sexual harassment at work has already occurred. But even those days, you know, when you talk about a breakup of a marriage, that is becomes a taboo, mm. you know, and you have to experience personal stigma and stuff like that. So now, yeah, I don't think it was really, you know, instigated by this Harvey Weinstein incident, but it's more that, the society now is more open to, responding
right.
to issues like this.
Mm. Nadira, what are your views on this?
See, I agree with Dasi and Datuk, but the other thing, you know, if I were to speak about my own experience, mm. I guess, there was this one time when I felt that, you know, maybe this is the norm,
mm.
right? Maybe this is how things work, right? Mm. So I started a business which is, you know, more of male domination. So it was male dominated. So I had to go and, you know, mix around with the guys. And then, you know, I was not aware whether or not it was okay,
right.
whether it was something that, you
yeah.
know, guys talk about, like, you know,
yes.
what President Trump said, you know, it's the locker talk,
yeah.
right? So is that okay? Should I also be like them? Should I accept this as mm. norm? So, and there was no way that I could share this with others,
mm.
you know, to say, again, that whole, you know, being afraid of being judged, being afraid of being criticized, and there was no platform. There were no friends to talk about
yeah.
this. You know, even your friends would think that, hey, you know, you must have done something, like you must have dressed in some manner or whatever it is, right? But when I was younger and I went through all this, but it was also, you know, that kind of thing that you're not just afraid of being judged, but mm. you're afraid of the consequences that will have on you,
right?
Especially when you're just climbing.
Mm.
So I would understand people in professional and those building businesses, you know, you kind of like, you try to submit it as
mm.
norm,
mm.
because you're afraid of the effects that it will get on you.
And you will say things like, it happens all the time. You know, very interestingly, you know, is it the way you dress? Since I read somewhere, it was very interesting. Just because I do up my house nicely doesn't mean I'm inviting robbers to come in to steal from me. Because I'm house proud or I want to look good doesn't mean that it gives you any right to anything. Now, when you talk about, okay, there is also, someone made a comment on Facebook, a friend of mine said, when is it with flirting and when is it harassment? So how would you then clarify when is it flirting and when is it harassment?
I think it's about setting boundaries. Yeah. And there must be a certain set of rules that is applicable to everyone. For instance, there shouldn't be any touching at all without permission. Mm. It's just make it a rule so that there's no questions about it. Mm. I've been in places where we take group photographs and a man puts his hand on my behind. Mm. And how do you turn around and say to this big shot VIP that was inappropriate?
Right.
But if everyone knows that that's not acceptable, then you can say something and then it'll not be he said, she said, you know? So we have to decide what is acceptable. You don't want to have someone look below your neck and feel, you know, like you drew it in. Mm. You caused it. Mm. But just no looking below the shoulders.
Mm. Right.
Especially in business.
Seeing that the eyes are up here.
Yeah. It's just, you know, some basic ground rules need to be set. And everyone needs to follow those. Mm. And then after that, once you get past a certain familiarity, then it's up to the persons. Like, I've been overweight all my life. Mm. And I can always feel that cringing when somebody says, oh, you've gained some weight, haven't you? From basic strangers walking past, do you think you should be eating that cake? You know, it's so inappropriate for someone whom you barely know. Mm. It's not as if you say, like Ruby talks to me and say, Tessie, you know, if I were you, it'd be really good for your health and fitness. At least I would know you and if you know
the person. But a very simple how are you is pretty good too.
But why does it have to be about what you like just because?
Right.
It's so inappropriate. Just set those rules. Mm, okay. I don't know you.
And then I guess you have to speak up about those rules as well, right? I mean, you know, there's certain things when people say it, you don't keep quiet about it, but you say, excuse me, you know, there must be a better way of talking about this.
Yeah, and there comes the issue of self-esteem because you need to be able to have that courage to say, that's not appropriate.
Right.
Excuse me, but I find that really offensive.
Right. I remember many, many years ago when I was 17 years old working in an establishment, and my boss actually came up behind me and grabbed me by my behind. Mm. And I was looking at him and I just stared at him and said, what do you want? And then, of course, he took his hand off. And it's just like, I think at that moment, he knew that don't mess with me. But the fact that I didn't know that I could report it or do anything at that time, that it was a norm, and he could see that I could kill with my eyes. But there were other girls who were also faced with that situation, and they were not as brave as me. But even then, right, it does affect you, right? Mm. So I want to talk about then, what do you do that in a workplace situation? Do you think most companies right now are more aware of this and taking this more seriously, or they sometimes just pay the guy off and let's not make the big deal out of it? And is that still happening in organizations?
I'm sure they are. Mm. I'm sure they are. I mean, number one, I think there are more awareness that kind of, you know, we're more aware of something that can be done, something that cannot be accepted, right? Mm. And I think there needs to be a platform where women can speak out. Mm-hmm. And even if there is no platform, individually, you speak out when you're not comfortable with something. And it's, you know, as much as I really like the idea of having some set of boundaries, but it's very difficult because it might differ from one individual to another. I've been in situation where I'm not comfortable with something, but because I see my other friends are, is that okay? You know, what would people think of me
if
I say,
follow the herd.
Yeah, right, okay. And to the other person who's doing it, right? You know, why are you being so timid? So, you fall into that trap of, do I follow or do I speak out? What will people think of me? So you want to be accepted too. So it's really difficult. Mm. But I think there is a need for you to speak out if you're not comfortable. That's it.
Right.
And that kind of speaking out creates awareness. Mm. I think men will need to know that not everyone is comfortable with, you know, what the other person is, right? Yeah. So I think there needs to be that kind of you know, speaking out lah, and having the courage to just say it.
But you see, I think sexual harassment at work, usually it gets out of hand when it happens to someone who is junior in the organization. I mean, if you talk about, you know, someone of a senior management, they can put a stance and say, hey, no, this is wrong, don't do it. But when you talk about, let's say, an administrative assistant or receptionist, for example, as much as they know that it is wrong, it is so hard for them to, you know, put your foot down.
It's always the issue of control, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and it's what is really sad.
And the struggle to be accepted also, I think, right?
And sometimes, you know, when they talk to their colleagues and they go, yeah, of course, probably, you know, you want to, you know, get a promotion. And so, you know, it takes two to clap. And that's very unfair because not all of them can express themselves as how someone who is a more senior will be able to.
And the more senior person usually know the right victims.
Right.
Right. They probably will pick on certain people knowing that that person has no power into a large extent. Right.
Yeah.
So I guess in that case, and what can, from an organizational standpoint, what more can be done by companies to ensure the boundaries of their employees are maintained? Maybe like, do you have these sort of policies in place, you know, where you guys are? Is it clear to employees that they are able to speak up?
So in my organization, there's always a rule of asking first, right? So if the other person is not comfortable, then you don't do it, right? And you don't judge, but you don't know what goes on behind their heads anyways.
Right.
Then there's the world of business, which is more open and you're expected to behave in certain ways and to accept certain things. And like Dato' Ruby rightly said, you know, when you grow bigger with exposure, with experience, you kind of accept it almost as, you know, this is okay. You know, taking photos together, you know, standing close to each other, and that's quite fine.
Right.
Right? Especially if you're in a group of, you know, foreigners. And that should be okay too. But there are other people who may not be comfortable with that.
Right.
And, you know, then there's the religion boundary and there's that whole exposure. So it's really difficult when you come into the world of business. I've had situations where, you know, when I was younger and being a single mother at that time and having to go and do deals, right? So they've always had that kind of perception that you would do anything to get business. So whatever you put on the table, no matter how smart you are, you know, there's always something else. So speaking out, but I lost a lot of other opportunities. I've lost businesses, I've lost deals just because I spoke out.
Right.
But that was my choice.
Right.
I did not want to succumb to having to accept deals by allowing myself to be in all that.
Right.
But that was what I lost. And I'm sure there are many more women out there who experience the same.
Thanks for bringing it up, because a lot of people at that point, right, I want this deal and they're willing to do some things. But then obviously, like, if you didn't, then looking back, why was it worth it not to? People need to hear that.
Because to me, if I were going to sustain and run and grow business, it has to be about the business.
Yeah.
Not about me. And I have more in your up here.
Yeah, right.
That's in your brain and your value and your offering than, you know, being a woman, you know. So you should be accepted as what you offer on the table.
Right.
Rather than your sexuality.
And we want to talk about values, because she brought that very interesting point in just a moment. I'm here with Tessie Lim, Nadira Yusuf and Dato' Ruby Gong. Stay tuned to Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm Frida Liu. Good afternoon. If you've just joined us, I'm here with Tessie Lim from the World Center of Personal Excellence, Nadira Yusuf from Nadi IU Technologies, also Girls in Tech, and Dato' Ruby Kong from Magic. And we're talking about the rules of engagement. We're talking about boundaries when it comes to women, whether you're working, whether you're in a business and all that. And this, of course, has come about because of what we've heard through media with Harvey Weinstein and all the other stories around that, surrounding that. Now, Nadira, just earlier on, you spoke about speaking up, whether in business and not doing certain things, because it comes back to our values, right? And how then do you be true to your values? I'm looking at myself and I don't know what it is. Like, some people are just willing to stand up and some people aren't. What is it that you have to get from within to be very firm in speaking up?
So I'm listening and I'm looking at all this, and we're observing all kinds of responses from all parts of the world, and knowing my own experiences in boardrooms where men don't look at me the same way that they would look at other men on around the table. We say lean in, and it's not that easy when we can't even make eye contact. They're not even making eye contact when a woman is speaking. You know the feeling?
Yeah. Only to ask you get coffee.
Yeah. It's so pervasive. Mm. So as a coach and a trainer, my question is always, what can I do to train courage? What can I do to raise self-valuing, to reduce self-doubt and not be so bothered about what other people think of us? And then you have to draw on the basic question of who am I and what am I about? So in schools, we want to train people or students about their own value. What do you need to do to stop bullying in schools? It's about how much you value yourself. What are you worth? What is right and what is not right? Where do you have to draw the line? When someone makes you pick up a pen that they kicked in front of you, or a teacher wants to bully you, or I'm saying this because it's always about power, right? That's why it's usually about somebody more senior to you trying to exploit the weaker. It's all about that. So and weak is a perception.
Right.
Weak is not real. It's in your mind. It's about meaning. How you make meaning about what you are worth. So if you feel that you are only worth that, then that you're exposing yourself to so much possibility of being downtrodden or pushed behind. But if you feel that you are equal, if you feel that no one is above you or you are beneath no one, then you become fearless.
Right.
Then you become courageous. So it's about training that, creating that bubble around you where nothing nasty can enter that bubble and hurt you, because you create your own value, your own meanings about who you are, what you stand for, what is right, what is wrong for you, and not having to take these meanings on from other people apportioning negativity on you. And the whole thing about negativity is when you feel guilty, when you feel ashamed, when you feel small, you can feel a sense of vibration that is very low.
Yeah.
You know this feeling of my heart dropped, I feel small. These are feelings that one can actually feel. And when you feel that guilt, that shame, that feeling of worthlessness, that feeling of anxiety, worry, fear, depression, you don't have much energy, do you, to go out there and rare to go, you know, fight for your business and fight for your ideas and say, hang on, I haven't finished. Don't talk over me. I'm making a point here. Please listen. I need all eyes and all ears right now. Because at meetings, I'm often cut off simply because I'm the only woman in the room. They don't want to make eye contact with me when I'm making a point. Just because I'm a woman, they think that I don't have the experience or the capability. And then we're fighting for 30% women on boards.
Yeah.
I think it's just as much educating women than it is educating men. Both genders need to be educated.
Right.
And we need to just lift that vibration to a sense of, I'm just as okay as you. I'm okay.
This is something, I guess, like when we're of a certain age, we're mature, we come to these things. But I'm looking at the women in their 20s and just coming out in the working world, and not that self-assured and all that, right? And we talk about being resourceful within, having the confidence within. Does it help then to have a fraternity of women that they can actually sort of work together with, partner with, and build each other up in that sense then? I know you're girls in tech as well.
So I guess, you know, we're luckier now. Because we're speaking out.
Yeah.
And when you know you have women speaking out, you know who to reach out to. You have platforms and you have associations who actually bring up these issues, and you have friends to talk about. You know, not like it was in our time, right? You were so alone. It is also very necessary for us to look at it from a generation point of view. Whatever it is that we're talking about right now, the pathway has been set by those before us.
Right.
You know, somebody else spoke up. And therefore, we spoke up.
And now with social media, it's viral.
Now with social media. And I guess it is very important because our children are seeing this, both our boys and girls, right? And the more we're talking, the more they're listening, the more they're seeing, the more the rules are engaged within them.
Mm.
I guess it's very, very necessary for them to see that. I have been in situations where I went for business pitches, meetings, right? And I had the chairman telling me, you know, so who's behind you?
Mm.
I always went on the approach of, you know, do you have a daughter?
Mm.
And is this the way that you would want to treat your daughter?
Oh.
So if you sent your daughter for universities and you believe in her, is this how you would be speaking to her?
Mm.
Right? Even if you have a son,
yeah.
You know, would you do some things that you wouldn't want your son to encounter?
Mm.
Would you want your son to do that to the sister?
Mm.
So, you know, I have many children.
Mm.
I try to enforce them. With this kind of behavior and hoping that they would be setting that change in their generation,
right?
As much as I want to change mine, I have to speak up
so
that they will learn and they will take effect in their generation. So this is something that we can do.
Right. And I guess as parents of that's what we need to educate our kids, especially, well, I guess both the boys and the girls to be able to speak up and all that.
Correct.
Right. You know, so we talk about rules of engagement here and what to do when you're in a situation whether of any nature where you I guess when you feel you're suppressed in that sense. Right. You know, any other parting words around this, Dato', perhaps, you know, on what we can do?
I think that, you know, a lot of awareness still needs to be created, you know, preferably a platform, something like, you know, like what WAO does, you know, for battered
women. Yeah.
There must be a platform that, you know, someone, a victim, someone who's experienced it can go to seek legal advice, counseling. And until that happens, and I hope soon, there still needs to be a lot of education from the home, you know, just like what Nat shared just now. In schools, there must be education on this matter. And while all that is taking place, I think we as individual, as a woman, there are things that we can do within our control. For example, you know, when I was in oil and gas, and also at the same time, I was also with a spiritual organization, I made it a conscientious effort that when, you know, how I should behave, you know, amongst men, as you know, in oil and gas, it is a male-dominated industry. And it was very hard, you know, to be accepted in that industry. So I dress like one of them, you know, sometimes even dress down, speak their language, try to speak their language. It is not about submitting to them. It's not about, you know, playing their rules. But I look at it as that I want to win a war, not the battle. So whatever it takes, as long as I'm not selling my soul, you know, I think that is fine. Well, that is my personal opinion. I mean, similarly, you know, when I was representing the spiritual organization, I know that I have to behave, talk, dress in a certain manner, you know, to be an ambassador of a spiritual organization. And that was what I did. This is society's expectation. Probably our listeners will say that, oh no, you know, why do you have to play that game? But like I said, you know, look at the bigger picture, not just, you know, how you want it to go.
She was mirroring.
Pacing.
She was pacing. Okay. All right. Okay. So pacing. All right. You can explain a little bit about pacing is in this case.
Pacing is a communication style where if you want to get on the good side or allow the other person to feel more comfortable with you, you do what they do. You know, so if they dress like that, you dress like that. If they speak a certain way, you speak a little bit like that. You try and mirror them as much as possible without being exactly like them so that they feel more comfortable.
I think there needs to be an acceptance that harassment happened to both female and male. Both sides, right? So we're talking about, you know, sexual harassment that happens to women, done by men, but there are also instances where men are being harassed by men and women are being harassed by women and women harassing men. So because I lead organizations, I see this happening, right? And the fact that, you know, when you're not comfortable, right, you either speak out or you make a conscious effort to show that you're not comfortable.
Okay.
Right? And I don't think it is about the dress that you wear.
Right.
I don't think it is about your style or the way you talk. I think it's about carrying yourself. right now, we're, again, more fortunate than them because our society is more exposed and they're smarter.
Yeah.
Right? The fact that, you know, you can sense if somebody's not comfortable with you and you've got to react to that, right? If you're a woman, if a man is not comfortable with you, then you've got to react to that too, right? So I think you've got to be fair in terms of looking at this. And both sides have got to speak out. I know I have some male friends who also comes back to me and say, is it okay if I do this? You know, they're not sure either. Because, you know, some women would be okay and some are not.
Right.
Right. And there's this thing about coming out as well, right? So, you know, many women don't come out, don't talk about it because they're afraid of other women being judgmental on them. This is more... I guess, more dangerous than actually having the perception of the men.
Right.
Right? So many a times, you know, when you speak out, and when you speak out, you're already reaching to that level because, you know, you have that kind of confidence and whatnot. And you have other women asking you, why only now? Are you trying to take the man down?
Is
there something? You know, that's always that kind of question as well. And I've been through this in a group where women come back to me and say, you know, I spoke up, and then I've got people telling me, are you trying to bring that man down? Because now you're somewhere, right? Why only now? Right? So I guess it's very difficult, but you still need to create that kind of support system that has to educate both men and women, not on the rules of engagement only, but why it is necessary to allow people to speak out at any point.
Right. And I guess be prepared that when you're going to speak up, there are going to be ripples.
And this is what I think Tessie said just now, you know, creating that kind of bubble and building up your own strength and values is very important because they're going to be judging you anyhow.
Right. Tessie?
Just like Nat said, start conversations. Just like Dr. Ruby said, we need to build awareness. And with this Me Too campaign, women should know that we are not alone. We can talk to other women. We can talk about our problems. If my story can
help someone
and make them feel better about themselves, why not? Why are you telling me I should shut up? It says a lot about how women see other women
as well.
Right? It's a bit weird, wasn't it?
Okay, so I guess at the end of the day, understanding rules of engagement, be prepared to speak up and be prepared that there will be repercussions, but you're actually raising the vibration and just, you know, getting to a more joy-filled place, ultimately. Tessie Lim and gang. That's Tessie Lim from the World Center of Personal Excellence, and Nadira Yusuf from Nadi IU Technologies and Girls in Tech, and Dato' Ruby Kong from Magic, talking about the rules of engagement and raise your game. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.